A young pastor was fishing for comments at the door following one of his sermons that he felt was particularly profound. One older couple responded, "Sometimes we come to church because of the pastor, and sometimes we come in spite of the pastor. You figure it out." Another young pastor was visiting a wise matriarch of the congregation. They talked about what worship meant to her and what made it worthwhile and fulfilling. After some conversation, she said, "Well, you know, I really just come to hear the benediction at the end of the service. Anything else is a bonus. That's all I really need." We have gathered as the Christian church for over 2 centuries. Sometimes the worship is good. Sometimes it's a little short of uplifting. Sometimes the technology doesn't work. But we still gather. In the first story, the older couple let us in on something important. There is something significant happening during worship that is bigger than any of us. There are Sundays when I wonder, what could you have possibly taken away from the service, let alone the sermon? Yet someone may tell me that today was just what they needed to hear. It was just what they needed. Something is going on in worship that is far bigger than any of us. The Holy Spirit is moving among us as we gather, working wonders in lives, bringing peace to those in need of peace, healing to those who hurt. In today's gospel lesson, we know that Luke was written some 50 years after the resurrection of Jesus. It's very interesting that the author felt it was important to include this incident in his account of the life of Jesus. People were obviously meeting 50 years after the resurrection. And here they are telling a story of just one such gathering when something miraculous happens. Jesus appears in their midst behind locked doors. Looking back with 2020 vision, they see the events of those early disturbing days to be reflected in what they were doing. The gathering was not always something that was amazing, but it fed them. Not always flashy, but always carrying those words, "Peace be with you, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace." That miraculous appearance of Jesus among them is reflected in the gathering of Christians for those first 50 years, and really on into our future. In our meditation this morning, I want to reflect on our worship in the light of this text. And since hindsight is 2020, I thought it might be fun to look at it backwards. We'll work backwards through the text. Verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things." As we gather, we rehearse the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. We remind ourselves that these events give power and meaning to our lives. We place a cross in front of us, and we celebrate his supper with his death up front, where we can't ignore it. We baptize children with water, with the words, "Receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon the breast, as a sign that you have been redeemed by Christ, the crucified, and that in your baptism, you participate in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has given you new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthening you with his grace to life everlasting. Peace be with you." We say that in the baptisms. We repeat these words because we are witnesses. These are the events that gather us week after week. These are the events to which we bear witness. Verse 47, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. In our worship, we say the words, but if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. We confess our sins before God, and we hear the words of forgiveness. We share the peace with one another and pray that differences be mended. We look for ways to create peace with God, with one another, and with the world around us. And we know peace as we make small steps through our efforts, supported by God and one another. Verse 46, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. We place a large empty cross at the front of the worship space so that it is the first thing that you see when you enter. Our musicians and singers remain at the back of the sanctuary, so we keep our eyes on the empty cross. We confess in our creed that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In our celebration of the Lord's Supper, we repeat over and over again, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And in those words and in those actions that center around the suffering and death, we celebrate the resurrection of the one who defeated fear and death for us. These words are not dull repetition because they are the words, the events that give our lives hope and meaning. Our cross is empty because Christ has risen. Hallelujah. Jesus has risen. We gather in the weekly repetition, and we know there is hope. We know there is life beyond that which seeks to destroy us. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. We read the scriptures each week. And the reader says at the conclusion of each, this is the word of the Lord. And the people respond, thanks be to God. We take time to listen to a sermon where the pastor connects the words to life and salvation. We set the Spirit free among us as the word is read and proclaimed, not knowing at all what the opened their minds will mean to each of us. Sometimes the readings are heard as though we have heard them for the first time. Sometimes the readings, they are heard as comforting, old, familiar stories. Sometimes the words that we hear unsettle us, and sometimes they motivate us. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, takes flesh among us and within us, and we are strengthened for our week. We may be given hope to face an uncertain future. We may hear words of healing. We may hear words of assurance when so much seems uncertain in our life. The sermon is not meant to explain as much as it is to open the text so we may move into it and it into us through the Holy Spirit. To understand is to know the text to be true from inside us and freely receive the life that it gives. Verse 39, touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. The power of our gathering is often most real to us as we care for one another, as we care for family, an image I like using, and I see it throughout the Bible. We are the incarnation of Jesus to those around us in worship, but also to those in our daily lives. How we speak to one another, how we treat each other with dignity, how we treat each other with respect, how we greet those around us, both member and guest, reflects our willingness to be Jesus to one of them. We remember what Pastor John would say. He would say, go out and give them heaven. The only Jesus many people will ever see or maybe ever experience is in you and me. We gather so that we may experience that love for one another, to confess the times when we have failed to live that love and to hear the words of forgiveness so that we may try again. Peace to you, verse 36. As Jesus came among the group of disciples who were startled and terrified, our text says, he comes among us who are often startled and terrified, and he gives us his word, peace to you. Peace that touches the parts of our lives that are anything but peaceful. As we gather each week, we bracket all that we do with the gift of peace. After our opening hymn in confession and absolution, the divine service, as you saw today, moves into the service of the word with the Kyrie, Lord, have mercy. That comes from Mark 10:47. Blind Bartimaeus cries out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy. And what did we say? In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for the salvation, for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. We end our worship with the benediction. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. It shall be so. And so we gather. Sometimes what we offer to the time of worship is not very exciting. Sometimes nothing seems to happen. But sometimes it is a powerful experience filled with energy. But all the time, a reminder of what God has done for each of us, what God promises for today, and the assurances for tomorrow. Sometimes we come because of the pastor, and sometimes in spite of the pastor. Sometimes we expect nothing more than the benediction, but we come because we know God is at work. God is busy showering us with love and grace. God is promising each of us needed peace. And this is the place we know we can receive it. Peace be with you. Amen. We have the opportunity to confess our faith in the